This is John Walden. Psalm 107, now for our consideration. We've noticed before that the Psalms are divided into five books. The five books of Psalms very much conform to the five books of Moses. That is, the first book of the Psalms has to do with the beginning of things and with the greatness of God as the Creator and so on, and His kindness to all His creatures, especially to those whom He redeems. Second book of the Psalms takes up the story of redemption, just as Exodus does. Now we've come to the fifth book. Psalm 107 is the beginning of the fifth book. And the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, means the second giving of the law, or the restatement of the law. And so the 107th Psalm is a restatement of all that God is and does. It's looking back over all of God's kindness with the emphasis on His redemption and the deliverance of the people whom He has blessed. It begins, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." We ought to give thanks unto the Lord, and this is inevitable if we look back over His goodness, that is what He is, and over His mercy, that is the way He acts. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. God is good. There's a verse that says God is good to all. God is goodness itself. He is characterized in the first epistle of John as light. God is light. That is, He could do no wrong. There is no evil in His character. This was seen in our blessed Lord while He was here on this earth. Even His enemies had to admit that they could find no fault in Him. God is good as to His kindness to others. God is good in all of His acts, in the acts of creation. His creation show His goodness. It's only where sin has spoiled His creation that there is anything else. And He is especially good to us in redemption. But not only is He good as to His person, but His great mercy. His mercy endureth forever. This is the way God acts toward us. The word mercy simply means that He does not give us the just due for our sins. Grace reaches a little farther yet than mercy. Grace is a New Testament word specially. And notice, too, that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. God doesn't show mercy for a while and then turn against those to whom He is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you one of the Lord's redeemed? That means, have you been bought back by the precious blood of Christ? We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. This is the price that our Savior paid in order to bring us back to God. Now, shouldn't we say so? Should it be even necessary to exhort us to say so? Some profess to be saved and never say so. Well, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands. And so God redeems and gathers. Just as He saved the children of Israel by blood and by power, that is, took them out of Egypt from under Pharaoh's power and delivered them across the Red Sea by turning the sea back, brought them through on dry ground, so God does today. He gathers His people to Himself. Now, verses 3 to 9 give us the wilderness experiences. He gathered them out of the lands. They wandered in the wilderness. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Now, He did a great deal more than they asked. They cried in their trouble that they might be delivered out of their distresses, but it says He also led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. God always does more than we expect. But notice he did nothing until they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Some of you are not saved, perhaps. Why? Well, you haven't cried unto the Lord in your trouble. You haven't wanted salvation enough to turn to him. I'm not saying that God is asking you to pray for salvation. It's simply that if you don't want his salvation, it will not be forced upon you. As I said, I don't tell men to pray to be saved, but I don't tell them not to pray because it wouldn't do any good. I think any person who is really concerned about his spiritual condition is going to cry out to God. Have you ever called upon the Lord? Well, you say, I'm a child of God, but I still have troubles. Well, have you cried unto him in your trouble? That's when he delivers them. But he not only delivers them, he leads them forth, and he does a great many kind things to them, brings them to a city of habitation. In verse 9, he even says he satisfies them. He fills them with goodness. Well, since he has done all this for us, he says in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, this occurs in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. This is a kind of a chorus or refrain to this psalm. Over and over he says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that he's done wonderful works for you? Then join in praising him. Now in verses 10 to 16, we have them in trouble again. But it says that they are in trouble because, verse 11 says, because they rebelled against the words of God. Most of our trouble is because we are lost because we do not reject Christ. If we have received Christ, we are in trouble because we are self-willed. We do not obey the Lord. So, when they were in trouble, whatever caused their trouble, then they cried unto the Lord. And he delivered them. That's in verse 13. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He did all these wonderful things for them. He brought them through. He looked after them. He blessed them. And then he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. God delivered them. Now in verses 17 to 22, we find them in trouble again. This time they're called fools. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Unsaved people are suffering because they're reaping what they sowed, and they're going to suffer forever because of their sin against God. But even we who have trusted Christ, we get into all kinds of difficulty because we're not obedient, because of our transgressions. And in all of this difficulty and problem, they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Why didn't they cry sooner? I don't know. I don't know why we don't. But when they cried unto the Lord, then we're told the Lord heard them in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Sometimes God uses his word against his enemies. Sometimes he applies it to us. But in any case, it's a means of deliverance. And when this happens, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Talk about it. Tell others what the Lord has done for you. Now, from verses 23 to 32, we find them in strange circumstances, going down to the sea in ships, doing business in great waters. This is not our natural element. Man was made for the land. And these people get into storms, and finally it says in verse 27, and are at their wits' end. Have you ever been at your wits' end? Well, when you don't know what to do, there's just one thing to do. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. The Lord Jesus calmed the waves on Galilee, and he calmed the storm in the hearts of his own. The Lord would like to calm your storm. He'll bring you through that storm if you cry to him. And when they did that, he says, then are they glad because they be quiet. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now the rest of the psalm from 33 to 42 are general statements about deliverance of many kinds. Whatever it is, he's sufficient for all problems. Some of the people he has to bring low. Sometimes he has to turn the fruitful land into barrenness because of their wickedness. But then he can again turn the wilderness back into standing water and water springs. The Lord can straighten out your life. That's the thought. Now the 43rd verse ends with this wonderful statement. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now notice, it does not say they shall understand all of God's ways. There are many things about the ways of God which I do not understand, but I certainly understand his loving kindness. This is for those who will take time to observe. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. Instead of jumping at conclusions, instead of setting yourself up to be a judge of God and his ways, why not watch what he's doing and see his loving kindness in it all? The God who sent his Son to be our Savior certainly would never do anything but for our benefit and for our blessing. Our Father, we thank thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus for thy goodness and kindness and mercy. We thank thee for the times in our lives when we've been brought to where we could do nothing but call on God. And we thank thee for the way thou hast preserved and cared for us and blessed us. Now we pray for thy blessing on thy word in our Savior's name. Amen.